Okay, it's Monday, 19th of August. The time is 10:45. We're discussing working remotely, and we're about 15 people.
So I work remotely. Are people working remotely currently, or are you guys just interested? Right, so we only have people that actually do work remotely. You do work remotely, right? So we have no one that just wonders if they feel like work remotely. So we all work remotely. So I just have like questions about it. So I've been doing this for 5 years, working remotely. There's a bunch of challenges that start from like recruiting people that can join a team that works remotely. Turns out that's been challenging. Sometimes you hire people, they're just bright engineers, right? But working remotely doesn't work. So how do you even start with that? How do you make sure you hire the right people? What tools do you use to actually make the best of working remotely? Like Skype is one that comes up. For us, it moves to G+ Hangouts lately, and Google Docs and whatnot.
Yeah, I think Google Docs have been very helpful. It's in collaboratively work on editing, and that's really helpful. Share desktops and all of that. It's fast, it's cheap as well. I think that's been a definite big plus. But beyond that, I mean, it's nothing quite beats old-fashioned IRC. I mean, it's old-fashioned IRC.
IRC is very good.
We use Java rooms to basically. Same thing, right?
We have a public Skype channel, we don't know how it's called. And all the team is on the same Skype windows.
So the chat room again, right? Yeah. Same thing. So.
Yeah. In our experience, Skype is getting much worse after Microsoft acquired it.
Yeah,
you know, it's really so bad. That part that I had to install a 3-year-old Skype to get it working.
Yeah.
So then we switched to Join. Generally works much better. But besides that, we purchase for $500 a year, we purchase from Adobe Connect. Screen sharing for 99 people at the same time works perfect. The problem with Skype is that Skype is using the protocol trying to figure out who is going to be the server. And it may pick the wrong guy and everything goes down in the conference. While Adobe Connect, I tested on fast connections, I tested from a hotel. I was teaching. I'm teaching classes using it.
You mean desktop sharing for Skype, or it's just
screen sharing, video cameras, the chat room, everything is there.
Yeah, for that I find that Google Plus works a lot better than Skype. I find that this is more stable, it's faster, and sharing works better.
I'm going to bring up a point with Skype, Google Plus, and all these technologies, is that we tried it where we had everyone like on all the time when we were developing that one. And I found it exceptionally intrusive.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of background noise. It was really disruptive. So it just seemed like going back to an old-fashioned IRC channel where most communication worked the best. And then using Skype or some other screen sharing technology really worked better when you started to, need to have like closer communication.
Right. Yeah, really specific. If it's something specific I want to share with somebody, I'll switch it on for like half an hour or whatever.
Right.
There was one technique we did at Google where we had Tanbergs connecting to our offices. And they were on all the time, but they were muted.
Right.
But that way you could walk by and just if you wanted to chat with somebody for 10 seconds and say, hey, can you check out my code review? You can unmute yours and say, hey, are you busy right now? I'm kind of blocked. And, so it's a way to get quick attention from somebody without having it always disturbing. You can look and see if they're there or not.
Now, we do this with Java again. And basically, we have like alarms going on when somebody says, hey, Alex, right?
Yeah.
So you can mute that, actually.
Yeah.
If I'm working on something, I don't want to be disturbed. Which I think is kind of, that's what I like about working in those days. I can say, now, don't bother me.
Yeah.
Right? When you're sitting at a desk and everybody can just walk by and disturb you, that's how it feels when it happens. You can actually mute this, right? And say, leave me alone, it works. And then at some point you just come back and say, hey, the headphones, right? Yeah.
I can tell one use case for Skype, which saved us technically. One of the things that we do is consulting for large companies, Wall Street companies. They have super duper security, and we have people working remotely for Wall Street. So, for example, the typical scenario, I walk in, I work maybe one day a week, a physically in New York, or maybe even no. So initially one day a week, and then I'm out. Somebody works remotely from Europe, for example. And they don't even allow anything. Skype is not there. So what, but the building has access, like guest access. If I would be a guest in that company, I would be able to get internet. So what we did, we purchased Android or iPad something, and we gave it to the developers as a company, Wall Street. And we said, if you want to talk to our guy, here's the device for you, we'll use Skype, and this helped. $250 and
security loophole.
Huh?
With a security loophole.
Oh yeah, it's not the only one, but it's...
No, but it's secure because it can't connect to the corporate network, so you're
cool. Yeah, they need to talk. They're not passing any secret information, but they need to talk.
So I use GoToMeeting a lot.
Yeah.
Which, and the only thing I use Skype for is to tell people what the link is for GoToMeeting.
We use TeamViewer for remote pairing, so that allows us to both show the screen, but then the guy can also take over the keyword.
Showing me that really well.
Yeah?
Including taking the keyboard.
How do you find GoToMeeting and you used to be webinars for the low bandwidth conditions. I remember in the past it's worked pretty well on South Africa as well.
The GoToMeeting is a bit limited at the moment because you can't, for example, transmit video of yourself. Unless it's like in a meeting is okay, 25 people, but
you can share screen.
That's no problem. But if you want to see the person, if it's less than if it's like 25, you're okay, but 1,000 isn't it. But for low bandwidth, it's very good. It's very good actually. But the other ones also, Adobe Connect and lots of different options.
Because I agree with the IRC. We use HipChat just because it's easier to get into than IRC for the people we want to join. But interacting with clients, you need higher bandwidth. And that becomes a problem.
What bandwidth do you have in South Africa?
Remember,
four megabit
is well, but the problem is the outgoing bandwidth is limited to like 300 kilobits. And Skype just falls down with the, and it pulls down all the rest. The vault server comes up, and Skype dies, everything dies.
So you need a second line, which is only four.
Which means I have a fiber line, which is just, it's 2 meg symmetrical. And we have that only for conferencing stuff, and the rest is on the radio.
Fiber is very unreliable there. But now it's messy and stuff.
Yeah, what I like about the Google Plus Hangouts is everybody can select their own bandwidth usage. There's a slide where you can say, I don't have a lot of bandwidth, so block the video for me and compress the other of my audio if you want to.
But is remote working just a tooling thing? I mean, what other kind of adjustments?
So what we do is that we pair up in the morning. And then the pair decides if they're going to actually pair code or just have a session open. So if you want to talk to someone, you're always connected to someone. You can just say, hey, Jake, I want to talk about this or that.
That's a good idea. Because one of the things we had a lot, especially with the smaller teams, is where do I sound hold? And then you say that.
One of the other things that someone brought up was recruiting people, and that has been hard. A lot of smart people aren't as good at communicating, and also specifically on certain types of tooling. So I mentioned IRC earlier, and I realized that some people here are very familiar with IRC, and some people just aren't. And this, again, is quite common in the engineering world, that if you're from that background, from that culture, I don't know, Linux kernel hacking or whatever, then you really are very much into IRC, and you're expressive and communicative and chatting about IRC. You're not, and that makes it quite hard. One of the things that I've always done, so I work in open source, so it makes it easy for me to hire people within the open source community in the first place, because I already know them through the community. They already see them in IRC, already chatting with them on mailing lists and things like that. Probably seen their code at this point, quite a bit of it. They probably contributed quite a lot of stuff, so I'm used to the way they interact with the rest of my team. I know the quality of their interaction, and that makes it easy too. But that's, I know, a specialist case. It may not be as generic.
I have a question. You know, IRC is really good for chat and starting. Sometimes you just need to draw on a whiteboard.
Agreed.
And I don't really, haven't really found a good solution for
shared whiteboard.
Shared whiteboard.
Google Plus again. Google Plus has got an opportunity around
there. It's just different. I mean, I have an iPad here, so I'm sketching around.
Yes.
If you have a PC, you're working on it, you can't really sketch around. You can't take a pen and sketch something for people.
You can have make your computer an Acer. And then you share that straight into the live machine.
Video camera, it's my work.
Oh, yeah, well,
And of course, you have good optics and stuff like that, because if you have the sun coming in the wrong way from the wrong window, then it's a real mess. But I mean, the strength of the iPad is good, but it's still, I don't know, I still don't find it adequate sometimes, because just the level of detail you want to get into, the screens are, you just don't have enough space.
Actually, we get back to paper ourselves every time. So every stuff we've tried failed. We even looked at something like tablets for everyone. Right. Then the appropriate software doesn't exist. So what happens technically is we start scribbling on this paper, show it to the can, it doesn't work because it's too small. So eventually you end up scanning the thing and sending it to everyone. But you're right. If everybody would be standing in front of a whiteboard, you would have saved what? An hour? Easily.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
That was a question I had, was that with the issue with some people liking Skype and some people using Google Hangouts and IRC and all these other things, my question for specifically project managers is, how do you consolidate all of that information in a way that is efficient and so on. You know what I'm saying? So here you've got a guy who's sketching on his iPad, great, and then you've got another guy who's on Skype 2.8 because version 6 is horrible on Mac, and so on and so on and so on. But from my experience, the reason I love Skype is I can go in and look historically at all of that archived information, and I can put in whether it's web links or an uploaded document or whatever. So my question is, has anybody who's working remotely found a way of either a methodology or a project collaboration software that helps them with that whole process?
What bots on IRC?
It seems like each team kind of needs to settle on a small set of tools.
Yes.
You can't have everybody doing whatever they want.
Though arguably, since everything eventually just fails,
but
it's a distributed system, so you know it's going to be back. We just fall back to whatever works, right?
Yeah.
Google Hangouts, great. They understood really what split brain means, but it's still there, and the thing split brains. You got 8 people, not everybody talks to each other. It just fails. So you need to fall back to something else. We have this thing from Cisco's, this WebEx, there's some other stuff. We hate it all because it's like to get something going, it's like really hard. You need to log on the web, sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we fall back to it because it works. And talking back to the other thing is, even if you settle on some tools like IRC bots to record everything, what happens in the Skype or Google doesn't get recorded.
Right.
So I'm not sure whether you're trying to address that. I don't think we suffer from this, but I'm not a manager. So.
No, I think that's not just a tooling, it's a process thing as well. And how you use it. And what we've done is we've assigned, we have people, I sometimes call them liaison officers, just to be funny. But their role is to make sure communication is happening in that distributed team. So there's specific channel that's chosen, the team usually is the chat room, and everything gets done in there, and it's all gone. And they don't have to be online at the same time. Big fan of Skype, have to be online.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like coding standards. You're not going to get something that suits everybody, but you all agree on it, and that's what you use. And it's the same with the tools and the processes. You need to sort of decide on, this is what my distributed team is going to use, and for a while, early in the year, we sort of fell into the trap of using too much tools and it's confusing. Are we using HipChat now or Google Groups or what? Where do we, or IRC? So just standardizing something, tell everybody that's what you use. Hopefully it works, but
I guess IRC, you guys have a freenode, right? So we have our own Java server that runs on some rogue IT stuff. which means that we can also fix it if it fails, and not file an IT ticket for somebody to look at eventually, right? So, so that's the one main channel, basically, I guess, for you guys, RSC. And then what needs to happen, we'll just make it happen.
Yeah. It seems like you really need a fallback. Like, where do you go to find people? Find your team.
That's right.
And that's probably the most important one would be IRC or Jabber.
It's also a question. I mean, how would you do it if you were all sitting in a room from the process perspective? If you didn't remote, how would you then organize the information? You would create some Word documents, store them somewhere. You would have a wiki somewhere where people need to paste their checks or the information.
But if you're all in the same room, you just write on the walls.
Maybe it's formal. I work for a bank as a consultant, so it's much more formalized. Maybe you have Word documents because we need to have Word documents. it's a process. And also, there are some people remoting, so in a way, also later after that, you need to find a way to get that information into Word documents. So it's a matter of process then.
We come to the Word document. I'm working on a book during the last year, and not with three other people. It's remote, of course. And we don't do Word doc anymore. We do it for a rally. A rally has a server, and we have a server. Our book is on GitHub. The word processor is Sublime. The format is ASCII doc. It's like a wiki style. We check in, check out stuff, and every chapter is there. We publish it online. It's available now. Early allowed us to do this good old stuff. So I don't think much support has a chance to survive, even in the enterprise. It can't be on GitHub.
Yeah, it's either got to be a text ASCII kind of stuff or Google Doc that you can share.
From us, you can generate any format, including PDF. You can create beautiful. If you want that, check it out. EnterpriseWebBook.com. It was created in ASCII doc, generated, and it's beautiful layout, responsive design on any device. All my colleagues
are
from
it used to be Markdown. We started with Markdown, and then we used to do this.
It's easy for people to contribute, to send pull requests, patches to documentation, as the was coded.
We use Google Documents for as drafts because we can work together, two or more people. And then if we have something important that we want to keep, we use Google Sites, but we write the actual specification or whatever using MD format. We generate the HTML and add it to the website.
Besides tooling, I'm super interested in if you guys that are working remotely get together now and then, what do you do then?
Coffee.
But you're spending a week together. Like we do that twice a year. We gather the home dev team together for a week. Right. How do we use that week as effectively as possible?
How do you do this? How do people work? How do you do this? Or at the same time,
airplanes.
But one of the things tooling.
We're all in the same dev team. Doing the same products, so we get the chance to do that.
I mean, information that you can share, I mean, you can use all these tools to share information, like technical details, but what you really miss is the
personal interaction,
right? Yeah, so like, just connotations of people's opinions of what's going on, and so being able to sit down with a couple of guys one-on-one and have a beer, take a walk, have coffee, and just, or do some kind of activities together, like go out.
Have a chat about state of...
Yeah, like what's your opinion on the project, really? What do you really think about the manager, you know, all this kind of stuff, and what's going on?
That's how people structure.
Right, and you have to kind of just create an environment where these little conversations can happen, I think. Mm-hmm. And that helps you then when you're back online and you're chatting with somebody, and just understanding them and like some of the quirks about how they phrase things. Maybe you're offended. You might be offended by somebody's wording, but you realize it's just how they talk, you know. Okay.
You need that context for people you work with.
First, I'll put another question which is related to recruiting, but from the other side. It's hard to find good people remotely, but it's also hard to find good companies who embrace remote workers and actually include those. So I've got a suggestion. Maybe we can make a top 10 of companies that we find be a good at having remote workers.
So if you want to make a new client list for Heinz,
I've dealt with companies. There's one company I worked with remotely in Waxy, which is fantastic. Could be a different experience, but I had a good experience with him. It just depends. And it's sort of, you have, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, it's always the question, how much time, here's another question, how much time are you actually able to develop remotely per month for someone? I found that when I work remotely, I actually don't manage to do as many hours as if I'm physically going into an office. I don't know why.
You lose more when you work remote.
No.
I'm not saying how much do I bill,
right? What's the metric, though? Like, how do you measure the time you spend coding and how effective that coding was?
I don't know. It's very effective, but I'm just thinking maybe it's just the way my current state, but in the past, you go to work and you work for 3 hours, and that's a totally thing. Whereas when you're working remotely, I find that it's a lot easier to say, well, today I'm working 4 hours, and tomorrow 3 hours.
Yeah. It can be that when you're in the office, the other people motivate you, they push you, see that there are other people sitting there.
When you're in the office for 8 hours, how many of those 8 hours are really getting the coding done? When you're at home, you're kind of like, well, you can't just sit and chat with someone.
But there's a psychologically different situation created by the awareness that other people are working around you. I mean, the fact that you know that even if they're remote, you know, if you're in contact with them, you know, say you've got, you know, an open mind to them, knowing that other people are working makes it, you know, really focuses you.
That's why the IRC channel open,
right,
and having other people around really makes you aware that they are actually working.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually having that chatter in the background of what's going on actually, I think, compensates for that.
When you work
with people that is working remotely, people get used to the fact that the only thing that they are going to be evaluated by is the gravity of their goal, not the amount of hours they are writing code. So at the end, I think it's far better.
It's more to the approval oriented.
We
find definitely that the guys working from their houses is more efficient in what they deliver, way more than usually when we get together or when they come into office, way less productive. But we do that regularly for FaceTime because that's also important to build a team. Mm-hmm. And it might be that there's a specific thing that a team needs to focus on together. That's because of the bandwidth of the communication.
Yeah, but what they're compensating for in the whole lack of experience of working at home is the social aspects.
So
when you do get together, that's really
because
you're so, how should I say, working at home can be lonely. Right? And sometimes you just miss the background chatter of somebody saying something about something that's maybe technology related, and you know, that keeps things going.
One is the social aspect, but I think the second also is to address a certain limitation in the tool, and going back to what we said earlier. Certain things, I mean, and I find this sometimes with a particularly complex problem I'm working on, it's sometimes better just to even travel somewhere, have a face-to-face for a couple of days with someone, front of a whiteboard, and just get something really complex sorted very quickly.
And then everybody's gone.
And then everybody goes back again. That's right. Cool.
I suppose that you can find in other cities, but in Athens there are a lot of collaborate workspaces where you can go there. You pay something like 10 euros for the day, and you can use their offices, discuss with someone else.
How can you judge if a person works 4 hours or 5 hours a day remote? There are different aspects to it. First of all, I'm talking about UC. Large enterprises have their own culture. They have outsourced. They work with Infosys, huge Indian companies with specific building, they have specific security requirements, there should be wiring to the building, it should be standalone, this and that. And they are on the preferred list of vendors. So, Hive, of course, people know your name. But I don't know how helps this if you want to get to become a preferred vendor of a Wall Street company.
No.
There is a process, and it's literally difficult, very difficult.
Yeah.
What happens, you know, in our experience, we are a startup and we are a chicken salad company, small one. So in some cases, for example, with a lot, I don't know the name's name, but they know us. It's like a personal company. They hire the manager directly to us, they trust us, and say, okay, we'll take a guy from you, working remotely or not remotely. And he's going to go through this consulting company who is the preferred lead.
Yeah.
That company will take off like a small cut, $5 an hour. They don't do nothing. But they process our bills and we get checks from them versus they enter. That's one thing. So don't even go there. There is no way for you to get in. You guys are probably small company, right? So you can be reasoned, you can see you. We don't have and we'll do that. The second part is there is no way to time to have you a punch card or something. Odesk is trying to do this.
Yeah.
They're trying to do snapshots of the screen. It's bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah. It is bullshit. We hired a bookkeeper for Odesk. Comparing to the previous bookkeeper, she's been charging probably 3 times more. And everything is broken from the Odesk perspective. Snapshots, and she was working. But it's all about trust. If I hire a person working remotely, I know that this guy will push 6 hours per day. If he said 6 hours, it's 6 hours. I'm telling everybody I hire for consulting job, I don't care where you are. Either to me, you should be there. Otherwise, you can work during the night, you can work in the morning, 2 hours here, 3 hours there. If you want to go to take your kid to a hospital, do this, just send an email. I'll be out in 5 minutes. Or from this and that. It's only about trust. There's no way to time.
So when people ask me what it's like to work from home, like sort of jumping back to this, I like to put it this way. I think it's important to have an office. And what I'm saying is basically a metaphor, right? Think of it, whatever. It has to have a door. It has to lock. And you can either stand on both sides of the thing, right? Either you're at work or you're with your family and you should be doing that.
So you shut the doors of the office.
Right, you shut the doors of the office. I've realized that it doesn't work well on the long run when you're always in between the two.
And then divorce, right?
Well, that's a good thing. I don't know. Is this recorded? No, I don't.
But that trust is an important thing. I mean, the recruitment aspect, we're very particular about who we get involved in our teams, and we need to know some reference there so we can cross that person. We're not doing measurement of time sheets and things, because people we work with.
You don't have to know every individual, but you have to know, for example, if you decide to hire people to me, if you trust me, it doesn't matter for you who I hire. I am responsible. If something goes bad, you will blame me.
Yeah.
So this is how we
get this trust thing is also, If I meet a new customer and there's the just slightest amount where I don't trust them, I won't take them on.
If you don't trust them?
If I don't trust them.
What does it mean? How you cannot trust?
Just pick it up. There's like something shady about it. And like the first thing they say, okay, wait. Before we talk, let's just sign all these agreements. They normally walk away.
What could go wrong? What
do
you
say?
They don't pay, right?
Not paying you. Well, I'm a small guy. You know, if I go to a company and they don't pay, I'm not going to get the money.
Sure.
Right?
And you can't check that off
easily. They're sitting in another country. So, yes, I could trace them, but it's going to cost me more than actually the money. But it's more than that. So they might start harassing me, try to usurp all my time, talk badly about me, spread bad rumors. So there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong with a bad customer. So, as soon as I pick up anything in the first few meetings, I will not move to work for them.
Is that a case of the little guys and the big guys just can't mix? Done deal?
No, I mix a lot with the big guys. Most of my customers are really big companies. But it's just a gut feeling. And I meet the company, and every time so far that I've that I've gone against my gut feeling. I've come off, I've lost money.
But how do you walk away? If you already started, like 3 meetings, you sit down the road, you already started.
I'll sit down with Jakob, I say, let's have a chat. Have a chat. I don't like what you're saying, because I don't like your attitude towards your employees, towards your customers. You start saying, yeah, this guy's rubbish, but you know, don't like this customer, he's terrible, blah, blah, blah. You talk badly about all these people. It's a feeling, right? And then, if I feel that, that I wouldn't be comfortable with you as a partner.
Because you're not a partner, I hired you.
No, I'm talking about you as my customer. Right.
Yeah, I'm a customer, yes, and I'm hiring customer. You,
correct.
And like 2 weeks down the road, you come to me and say, I don't like the way you work with me. I'm out. This is what you're saying.
Well, absolutely. I would rather walk away after 2 weeks.
So, first of all, I'm not going to pay you, right, for these 2 weeks. You understand?
Well, that's precisely it. If you don't pay me for the 2 weeks I work for you, my point is, I do work for you for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I say, look, this is not working, I can't work with you. And I walk away, and you don't pay me for the 2 weeks, and I've actually proved myself right. Because I have worked for 2 weeks.
It's not fair, I think. I hired you, I wasted my time.
Usually I would pick this up pretty quickly.
Can I add something to that?
But it's a matter of feeling for me. It's a gut feeling. I understand. It's sort of there's got to be a point where you, for me, I'd rather walk away from something and say, I'm very sorry, but I'm not happy with what's going on. Then spend another 2 months, and you still don't pay me for 2 months. Yeah?
Do you make it explicit why you're walking away, or you just say, this is not working for me?
I'm just curious. No, I'm trying to remember that. Usually I go in the gut feeling on the first meeting.
You don't even see the proper process.
I have walked away in one case. I said, look, I can't continue. I don't have time for your business anymore. Because I did have a lot of other things which would take a long time.
Although it sounds like a messy argument for Heinz, it's possibly the best piece of business advice I've ever been given by Heinz. Somebody mentioned the trust word. It's a messy area, but it's very honest and it needs to be talked about. Really, what we're talking about is relationship and chemistry and communication. It has wide-ranging implications. And for the small businesses, especially the freelancers and the entrepreneurs, you can't put a value on motivation. You know, do I want to receive an email from this guy again? He's being a, you know, how you prioritize. In a perfect world, yeah, we're amazing time managers and we do everything in the right priority. I don't work like that. I'm a hugely sensitive person in terms of my workflow. And so for the small businesses, that motivation and dealing with the right people is so important. And so from Heinz's advice from there, I'm absolutely the same. I trust my gut instinct, you know, just from that first meeting, and very rarely are you wrong. I think you just trust your gut.
Mm-hmm. We're keeping things around that. The trust thing, for us is to be right from the start, to be open, to tell them, this is the way we work, this is our process, we work agile, we can't give you an estimation up front for everything because we suck at that, and you need to buy into that right from the beginning. And then judge, are they really buying into this? Because the projects we've had in the last 2 years that have turned out badly, the relationship with the customer in the end, is where they said in the beginning, oh yeah, that agile thing, that sounds really good, and then 3 weeks down the line, okay, so what's the deadline, how much is it going to cost, what's the fixed price ticket now, and you need to be sure they buy into everything about how you work, and that's also about trust. A lot of the time, from that first conversation already, from being open from your side, you can judge from their side, are they going is it going to be that type of relationship?
Maybe also thoughts for another discussion. It would open a different topic, trust, but from the other side, because for example, I work for the bank as a consultant right now in Germany. And basically, you get to work remote. I got VPN access. I'm within the network. And I was recently asked, I said, okay, I will spend a week working remote. And I said, fine. But if you could maybe just turn back, because now it will not look that well if you're away for an entire week. So mostly with me, it's 4 days on premises, one day away, or 3 days, 2 days. I'm there a lot. And let's say 70% of my team, it's about 30 people on premises. 70% of them are 100% of the time on premises, 30 are working just as I am. And it's always looked upon as, you're not really part of the team. So how do you get this, how do you create this awareness that, yes, maybe it's good to be remote. Maybe I'm more productive being remote.
Well, it's funny because
I think you should force everybody to work remotely.
If you're in
an office 100% of the time, you never really learn what the issues are, and you never really learn how to communicate.
You never really learn
how to deal with the issues.
That's a good point, because people will not contact you with some problem when I go to the office. Because if I'm there, people will come to me. If I'm not there, people will not call. It's incredible. The problems are the same, but people will not ask a question if you're not there.
People now,
so they have all the communication means available.
Okay. People in our offices work from home every Tuesday. So even if they are in San Francisco and the offices are there and they are open, but it's the company's policy that you work from home.
There's a fixed time.
Every Tuesday. You don't go to the company, whatever. You can work from home, from a cafe, from whatever you like. Mm-hmm. But what you were discussing about the trust and the other side, this is pretty much what Autodesk tries to help with. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's like the man in the middle, sorry for the propaganda or this, but there's a client you run your PC, it's available for Linux, for Windows, for Mac, for everything. It has a built-in Jabber client, you can take screenshots whenever you like. It takes screenshots of your screen every once in 10 minutes or at a random time. It measures your keystrokes, your mouse movement, stuff like this. And you can, if you're not very sure about someone, you can watch everything that he did while he was recording time.
But to be quite honest, if I knew that someone is recording this of me, I wouldn't work for them.
Those metrics don't mean anything.
It's only used for disputes.
I like it. I don't.
I think it's useful. But I also don't
think I would work for
the organization. That's a fair price.
So you would do it.
I like the idea that.
So we must close
the session. Because it might actually motivate me to be more concentrated.
That's all.
It's not so much policing, it's more like. Mm-hmm. Now you're working.
Right? But that's the motivation you might be looking for. It's a different problem. Whatever that motivates you, thinks that you need to stick somehow. But this is the problem of hiring the right people.
If you were hiring the right people, you don't need stuff like that.